Perhaps as we get to that point in our study of the Word of God this evening, there will be one that is here this evening who has decided that they are not prepared to meet their Lord. And perhaps at that time they will want to make that decision whereby they will be prepared and they will render obedience unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is good to see each and every one of you here. It is good that we have the strength and we have the help to be back to study a portion of God's Word. It is also good to see the boys with us this evening. It has been a long time for my family and I. Again, I guess 10, 12 years, it goes back a long way. And it is good to see them with us. We have all made a choice this evening to be here, to be together, to study a portion of God's Word and to encourage one another in this way. And in this, we are showing ourselves not to be selfish, but to be unselfish in putting God first and putting others first. And we need to realize this and, I think, be commended for that, for the efforts that we put in. Tonight, we want to talk about controlling the Spirit. And we're not going to talk about controlling the Holy Spirit. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about controlling the human spirit. The anger sometimes that is within us, the temper that will sometimes stir up in our bodies and in our minds because of certain things that happen. Most of us, I know, are aware of the great danger that can be caused by a fire. Whenever a fire will flame up, many times it destroys the things that are around about it. If an uncontrolled blaze gets up, it can destroy whatever it comes in contact with. We have seen fires spread throughout houses. We've seen them spread from home to home and destroy whole blocks and perhaps even whole cities. We recall the fire of Chicago and how it destroyed a great part of that city and how it was started. We can see it as it goes through a forest. And it doesn't take a great deal to start a particular fire. Not much at all. But when it gets out of control, it can cause enormous danger. But if you'll take that same fire and you put it under controlled situations, we have seen that it can be one of the most beneficial assets that man has going for himself. Because in a controlled atmosphere, fire is able to cook our food. And for centuries, that's the way that food was cooked. It heats our homes. In a certain respect, it runs the cars that we drive from place to place. It is so very beneficial. It gives us light and has for, again, a great number of years. A person's temper or spirit is much like this fire. If it is uncontrolled, it can destroy that person that can't control it. And it can also destroy those individuals that are around about him or her. But when it is under control, some of the greatest work that an individual can accomplish can be sparked by this zeal, we might say, by this temper that is under control. The book of Proverbs emphasizes the need for us to control our temper. If you have your Old Testament, we are going to be referring to several passages in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at what the book Proverbs has to say concerning that undisciplined temper or the anger that an individual might have that is uncontrolled. And then we want to look at some, as we said, some beneficial things concerning our temper or concerning the spirit. First of all, we want to look at what an undisciplined temper or anger can do. Again, the book of Proverbs points these things out to us. One of the things is that it can cause us to act foolishly. It can cause a person to look so very foolish. And I hope you're able to read that. The printing is just a little bit smaller than we're used to. But in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 17, we find the proverbist as he writes there, "He who is quick-tempered acts foolishly." I don't believe it could be any plainer than that. That individual who acts quick, who has a quick temper, is an individual that looks foolish. In the 29th verse of that same chapter, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." That individual that is impulsive, that individual that acts quick upon his temper and is uncontrolled, he exalts folly. In Proverbs 29 and verse 20, the proverbist once again speaking on these matters, "Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." This places this individual in mighty poor company. That individual who is hasty in his words, who is quick-tempered, there's more hope for a fool than for that person. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9, we find Solomon writing along those same lines and using the same word, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." We have again that word that is used, this way of describing that person who is quick. They act foolishly. Many foolish things have been done simply because a person has lost their temper, for whatever reason it might be. I'm sure that you and I have witnessed an individual who has done something rather foolish because they couldn't control their anger. I can remember one time working as an electrician, and I came in one morning, and there was this carpenter who was there. And that's no reflection on carpenters, but there was a carpenter there who had his arm all bandaged up and had it in a cast. And I asked him what had happened. And he said over the weekend he had lost his anger. I think it was with his wife. He's to be commended he didn't hit her. But he hit a wall. He hit a wall and shattered his arm because he got angry with her. He couldn't control his temper. And it was rather foolish as we looked at him to know that he wasn't able to control his temper, and he did such a foolish act as that. We've seen people, I'm sure, who will get angry and kick something. They'll hit the wall, they'll hit a door, they'll throw something and they'll break it. Later on, they regret it because it may have harmed them or harmed someone else. But so many foolish acts have been committed because an individual will simply not control this anger that they have. They, as we see, they often hurt themselves and others because of this impulsive action. Now, they may get anger and vent their anger on something, hoping to impress someone else. And sometimes that's the reason. They want to impress someone with their anger. Well, it impresses the other individuals, all right, but not in a right way. It's nothing more than a foolish act. And this is what an undisciplined temper will do. It'll cause a person to look very foolish. It also works transgression. Those things that are contrary to the will of God. Those things that are sin in the sight of God. In Proverbs 29 again, in verse 22 this time, "An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression." These are things that go with that individual that is furious, that is angry. James 1 and verse 20 says, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." This righteousness of God is what God wants us to do, to be right in His sight. Those actions, those words that we speak. And James has here by inspiration that the wrath of man does not produce that. It produces something just the opposite. We are admonished in Ephesians 4 and verse 26 to be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That's a good way of controlling our anger and controlling our temper. There are a whole host of sins that are committed in connection with anger. usually anger is not by itself. If there is anger, there are other sins that are going to follow along behind it. I'm sure you and I have heard an individual who was angry because of something that happened to them or someone they love, and they curse. They take the Lord's name in vain. And as we use the expression, they make the air blue with four-letter words that they can utter. These are things that follow anger. The abusive speech, sometimes even murder follows that. But certainly, fighting and hatred, sometimes revenge wants to be issued to that person that they're angry with, or gossiping or slandering an individual's name. They want to get back at this person that has made them angry. We see several biblical examples of what we're talking about. In Cain and Abel, as we go back to the first life that was taken, as Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable in the sight of God and Abel's was, Cain could not in his anger vent that upon God. So he took it out upon his brother. And that anger led to hatred, and that hatred led to murder. He took his own brother's life. In the case of Saul and David, we find that Saul was angry with David. That anger led to the hatred, and he tried to take his life. It was not something that was just there by itself. One of the worst examples of anger we can see is found in Genesis chapter 34 in the case of Simeon and Levi. How that they took a whole city and they destroyed all of them that were there because they were mad, because they were angered at what happened to their sister. And they destroyed all of the men of that city and took everybody else and everything else captive. It is all too true that what follows anger and wrath is many other sins. It's just simply not by itself. And so it works transgressions in the sight of God. Another thing that we know is that it stirs up strife. Proverbs 15 and 18. A wrathful man stirs up strife. Have you ever known of an individual? And some have been described in this way. Have you ever known of a person who was said to be looking for a fight? We've known people like that. They seem to be angry all the time. Something has upset them, and they're ready to fight someone else. What usually happens when an individual is looking for a fight? What do they usually find? Well, sooner or later, they find a fight. They find some way to take that anger out on another individual. And this wrathful man stirs up strife. We see sometimes in the larger cities in our society of where gangs will roam from place to place. And they're so filled with anger that they want to vent that on someone or in some way. In the business world also, there's a different type of anger that arouses people. And that is the ambition within a person with intense competition in the business, perhaps, that they are in. And because of that, we see that anger vented in one way or another, and strife is born of that, and fighting between those who should not be fighting. This uncontrolled temper, it stirs up strife. Another thing that we note from the book of Proverbs is that it is something that is outrageous. Proverbs 27 and verse 4 says there, wrath is cruel and anger a torrent. That word torrent here simply means a flood. This is how it is described. That wrath is something that is cruel and anger is a flood. We used to live in Amarillo, out in the panhandle of Texas. It's very high altitude there, and it's very dry. And every once in a while, there would be a rainstorm that would come. And I don't know if any of you have ever experienced a flash flood, but it's not something that's very pleasant. The ground is not able to absorb the water. And when the rain comes, these low-lying areas, which sometimes they call them rivers, and there's nothing more than a stream, but in a flash flood, we find the water as it pours down into these low areas can move through those ditches and those creek beds and those river beds and wipe out everything that's in its way. We've seen a little bit of that in the flooding along the Mississippi and the other areas, of how it just moves everything out of its way. Well, this is the idea behind anger. It's a torrent. It's a flash flood that moves through quickly and destroys everything in its path. And it just seems that as quickly as it appears, it is also gone. Wrath and anger are just like that. You can't seem to control the damage that it does. You just kind of have to get out of the way. This is something then that is, as we see here, outrageous. It is a torrent. It is cruel, the writer says. Oftentimes, we also note that it is something that is related to pride. Proverbs 21 and 24. A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. All too often, we find an individual that in order for them to save face, in order for them to recover the pride that has been hurt by another individual, we find that they will lash out at someone in anger. They will vent their anger on that person that they think has wronged them. But of course, we see this is something that is connected with revenge. This is something that a person wants to do, to take revenge because pride has been hurt. And of course we know that revenge is something that belongs unto God. It doesn't belong to man. And when we start taking vengeance out on other people, we are getting into an area that belongs unto God, and we have no business there. But so many times an uncontrolled temper is that which is result of hurt pride. Another thing that the psalmist says concerning this is that, and this should be enough for us, even if nothing else impresses us concerning this, and that is, it leaves a person open to Satan. We talked about this last Sunday morning, about how that Satan is seeking a place in each and every one of us. And with some, he has found an area in their life when it comes to an uncontrolled temper. Proverbs 25 and 28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. In the days of old, the days of the Old Testament, a city without walls was a city that was at the mercy of anybody else that wanted to come up against it. It had no protection. And any conquering army that was stronger, that just simply wanted to move through the area, move through that city because it didn't have any protection. This is the way that an uncontrolled temper will do to us. It will leave an opening. It will leave us defenseless in the sight of our enemy, who is Satan. He wants to destroy us. He wants to take us and make us something that is fitting for him. He wants this of us. He is our enemy. And he has no mercy upon us when he finds us exposed because of anger and because of wrath in our life. It leaves a person then open unto Satan. It leaves that door, that place, that little foothold in their life, where he can move in and he can take over. We also note concerning an uncontrolled temper that it is a work of the flesh. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, we find that Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, these things should be put away from our life. Galatians 5 and verse 20. Paul expresses it in this way, outburst of anger. These are things that are works of the flesh and should not be a part of one who is a child of God. The word for anger, the word for wrath in the Greek is tumos. And it's like a small amount of straw that has been set on fire, that blazes up real quickly and destroys itself, and then it goes out. This is what we have to put away. This is what an uncontrolled temper will do. It will produce a work of the flesh in our life, and God's not pleased with that. So we see then from the things that have been noted in Proverbs and other places that there are certain results of an uncontrolled anger. The individual that has an uncontrolled anger will inflict pain upon himself or upon herself and all of those about them, just like a fire affects the thing that it burns and the things that are around it. This is what an anger will do, an uncontrolled anger. Person inflicts pain upon themselves. And all too often, it's not only themselves that they hurt, it is other people. We also find that in all likelihood, he will destroy the friendships that he has, the relationships that he has with others, even with those who are children of God. Even those that perhaps are wanting to win this individual unto Christ, who might be angry, if it's a child of God, we want to help him out in this situation. He destroys those friendships. He destroys those relationships because he cannot control his anger. And sooner or later, if he can't control his anger, he is going to lash out at everyone. The results also is that it may force a person into isolation. Because people will simply not want to be around that person, lest he then turn their wrath on him. Also, we note that godly people will not seek his company, putting himself therefore into the company of those who are sinful, those who care nothing really about the Word of God. This is the result. And we are admonished in Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Here is something that we need to heed, coming from the wise man, coming from God and inspiration. Make no friendships with an angry man or with a furious man. Don't go with him. Don't make him your companion. And here is the reason. Because if you do, you're going to learn his ways. And when you learn his ways, you don't set a trap for other people. The angry man, the one with an uncontrolled temper, is the person that sets a snare for himself, sets a trap for his own life. There is, though, the proper use of anger. I believe this is expressed to us in the Word of God. But it has to be a controlled anger. Anger is not necessarily sinful within itself. It is not something that is inherently wrong and sinful in the sight of God. We find on several occasions how that Christ was angry. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, we find him there in the synagogue, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the others were there, and it was the Sabbath. And they were looking at him to see if he was going to heal a man on the Sabbath. Now, they were doing this so that they could find fault with Christ. They wanted something to blame him with. So they were looking, and Christ knew this. And in his anger, he looked at them. Christ was angry with these people. But Christ didn't sin. Christ was tempted in all ways as we are, but he did not sin. He had a righteous indignation, an anger that was controlled. Because here were people who did not want him to do that which was good upon the Sabbath. He was angry with them. In the case of God and the nation of Israel, we find that on several occasions he became very angry with them. When Achan decided that he was going to keep of those things that were dedicated unto the Lord, he became angry. We find in the case of the judges, many times as they became sinful, God allowed them to be led away into captivity. When he sent fiery serpents upon the nation because of their murmuring, because of the things that they did, he was angry with them. But God did not sin. God did not sin in this. We learn, and we must learn, to express our anger by looking at how God used his anger. Certainly, he and Christ are the perfect examples in everything. In everything that we want to follow, in every way of life, they are the example. And we look to them to be that perfect example. And God had anger, but God used it and uses it in the right way. For we see in God's anger that it was controlled and that it had a purpose. There was a purpose behind God's anger. Now, that's not so with man. Oh, it might be with man that he has a purpose, but it's not the same purpose that God has. When man gets angry and vents that anger on someone, it's the purpose to punish someone else. It's a way of satisfying himself, of getting even with someone else. But that's not the purpose behind God's anger. It is to correct us. It is for our benefit when God gets angry with man. There is absolutely no hatred or resentment when it comes to God in the anger that he has. God is not hateful in that way. He's not resentful when he is angry. And when he vents that anger out, he is not this way. It's not so with man. With man, there is so much hatred in that uncontrolled temper. There may be resentment to the other individual because of that, but not so with God. God's anger is completely unselfish. Again, not so with man's. When man gets angry, when man gets in such a way that he wants to lash out, he wants to vent that anger, it is for selfish reasons. It is to satisfy himself. That's not the case with God. It is completely unselfish on his part, because he is thinking of us. His anger is an expression of concern. Concern not for himself, but concern for us. Concern for those who've done those things that are wrong. God's anger is an expression of concern. With man, the concern might be with himself, because he's selfish. Not so with God. God's anger brings about a correction, or is something that hopes to bring about a correction, or to stop a sinful habit or a sinful behavior in the part of the individual that he is angry with. Again, not so with man. With man, it is some other reason. But with God, he wants us to correct the things that are wrong in our life, because it is sin that is the thing that makes him angry. He wants us to stop whatever sinful behavior we might have, as we can see in the case of the children of Israel. It is not designed to break up any relationship. God does it for our benefit, so that we might learn, so that we might come to repentance. He doesn't want to break a relationship. He wants to make it stronger. And God's anger is always at some injustice, some sin, or some willful disobedience on the part of those that he loves. This is God's anger. anger which comes from selfishness, which comes from pride, which comes from hurt feelings, this is wrong. This is not what we are to have. But anger for the sake of others, anger for unselfish reasons, this is the kind that comes from God. This is the kind we are not to have. This is the kind that we are to strive to imitate in our life as children of God. We can learn from Him. This kind of anger has understanding. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29, Proverbs once again says concerning these things, an individual that is slow to wrath, he says, that man has great understanding. The person who is slow to wrath understands things. He has great understanding. Then he has great stature in the sight of God. We find also that this kind of anger, the one that is like God's, is something that appeases strife. Proverbs 15 and 18. But he who is slow to anger allays contention. There might be contention that would arise. But an individual is slow to anger. And therefore the contention, the strife, does not come up. This is the kind of anger that we are to have. The kind that we see displayed in Christ. That which is also displayed in the Father. There is a value that is placed on the man or the woman that has a controlled spirit. And it's found in Proverbs 16 and verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Military heroes are those individuals that are looked up to. They are revered. They always have been revered. We can go back to David and we look at him and the leadership that he had over the nation of Israel. How that he, through the help of God, was able to lead Israel to victory after victory. And he was praised because of that. The judges, as God sent them to deliver the nation of Israel from their captivity, these people were held in esteem because they were able to deliver the children of Israel. Even in our day and age, we find those that had military might, those who have military intelligence and lead us in victory, those people are revered. But God says that individual who controls his spirit is greater than those individuals, is greater than that person who has the ability and the power to take a city. That's God's estimation of that person who can control their spirit. Military heroes distinguish themselves many times just over a short period of time. But the man or the woman that is able to control their spirit has that same kind of distinction over a lifetime. And they work at it. This is the value of that individual that has a controlled spirit. It is important for us to be able to have the right kind of anger. We have been raised in a society that doesn't place much value, many times, on a controlled temper. Oftentimes, people look at that as a sign of weakness within another individual, that they were wronged and they take it meekly. They do not seek revenge, and people in our society will point to that person and say they're weak. We have been taught you get back at that person. You get even with them. You lash out. You don't take that from them. We see this time and time again in sporting events. how that you get back. You don't let people push you around. You tell that person what you think of them in no uncertain terms. You mince no words. You spare no feelings. We are told that that's what a man in our society will do. And oftentimes we see cursing and yelling. And this is something that is to be expected of us in the heat of anger. We also see the other side of the coin. We see so many that will suppress their anger when they ought to be angry at something. We again look in our society and we find so many things that we can get angry with. The sin that runs rampant. That which is good being called evil and evil good. And we ought to get angry with this. But yet we find again in our society so many people saying, no, don't get angry about that. We begin to compromise, and that's the order of the day. You don't take any stand against such things as this. Again, it seems that man gets everything backwards, everything upside down. We need to get angry at sin. We need to get angry at those things in our society that we see that are wrong, and even in our own life. And in the lives of others. Controlling one's anger is not an easy thing to do. But it is something that is commanded of each and every one of us. Let us learn to show anger in the right way at the proper times. This is what God would want us to do. Not to vent that anger in any way that would be harmful, but to be angry at the right thing. Be angry at sin and unrighteousness and do something about it. Let us learn to control this spirit that is within us. It has been given to us for a reason. But all too often we find man abusing that which God has given to him. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, this particular lesson was not designed to let you know what you need to do. But the song that we are about to sing talks about being prepared to meet God. Are you prepared to meet Him? Are you prepared for that great day of judgment where you're going to stand before Him and give an account of the things that you've done? The things that you've done in this life. Those things that are good, those things that are bad. And we've all done things that are bad. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the only way that we can have that sin removed, and that sin separates us from God, the only way we can have it removed is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only access that we have to the blood of Jesus Christ is through obedience unto His will. If you're here, why don't you let your faith cause you to repent of your sins, confess that faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. They'll be washed away. You'll be put into the family of God where all spiritual blessings are to be found. And that's the only hope that you have. Are you prepared to meet God? If you have not taken these steps, you're not. You're not prepared to meet Him. Why don't you be prepared this evening? You can go home resting assured that should you meet God in the judgment, you will be prepared to meet Him by obedience unto His will. Won't you do that as we encourage you by standing and singing the song?